Up this morning before the sun, grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a crank. I gotta talk with Fishin' Frank. Fishin' Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishin' Frank. 'Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishin' Frank's. You gotta go to Fishin' Frank's. The one who knows is Fishin' Frank.
And good morning, boys and girls, moms and dads, and children of all ages, and welcome back to another Radio Fishing. And it's Fishin' Frank in the chair here with Robert in the chair across from me, and it's just amazing day here in South Florida. It's just hard to contain myself. You know, the one thing I did like was, I know we've got big storms and all that coming, and the rain and all that stuff, but to be quite honest, it was nice and cool this morning.
It actually was. It was really comfortable.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, I was, you know, I don't think I was prepared to one day, you know, you get up and you walk outside and, you know, and it's
a sauna.
It's chilly and, you know, and you kind of want, you know, a little jacket or long sleeve shirt on, and you know it's going to be hot in a little while.
Right.
But then the next morning you wake up and it's, oh my God, is that hot.
Yeah.
Just blast the humidity and heat, right, you know, 5 a.m. and it's just wow. You know, remind me of almost being in Alabama, for God's sakes. That was nasty.
Yeah, but that's worse than here.
Yeah, that's way worse. That's too far north.
Yeah.
Yeah, too far
north. I mean, people don't realize the difference in that humidity. They're all like, I'm going north for the summer because you guys are too hot. It's like, eh, you can go far enough north, but if you only go a little bit north, it's worse.
Oh, yeah, way worse, because what you end up with is the further you are from the equator, the more extreme the temperature range is.
Right.
So it does get hotter. It does get colder. Then we're more temperate. We don't get as hot or as cold as you move north.
Yep. I like it.
Yeah. Most people don't realize that. No, I realize that because I'm a realization person. Yes.
Wow.
Did you notice that? Realization. Now, there's a key phrase to take you through the day. You're realization people now. So, anyway, enjoying my last 2 days. If I ever find the person that called me into the state and said, they smoke in that store, I will ban them for life.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't like me and you don't like what I do, don't come here.
Right. It's a free nation.
No, it's not.
I know. It's misleading, but
we have the largest illusion of freedom in the world.
Yeah.
But the whole free country thing, that's out of the window.
Yeah.
Now, as I take my last 2 days, I have 21 days to turn in my smoking plan. She says,
you actually have to have a plan?
Yes, I have to give them my non-smoking plan.
Put up a sign that says no smoking.
Yes, I told everybody not
triplicate?
To. Yes, you know. So
what's the plan, really?
Oh yeah, no. It's just government goofballism. So anyway, my rant for this morning, you know,
probably not. But
30 years and 9 months of doing exactly what I do every day, and now I have to change because some whiny jerk. Symbolism of America. Whiny jerks get everything they want.
Yes.
Yes. So, anyway, now that I've ranted and I feel better venting out. So, we're going on to the fishing report. You know, I mean, yes, I shouldn't smoke. Yes, it's bad for me. But, you know, no one's forcing anyone to
walk in the door.
Walk in the door. If you don't like me and you don't like the way I am, you know, leave me alone.
Right.
That's all I've ever asked from people. You know, you like me? Come in. I like you too. If you don't like me, stay the hell out.
Right.
I don't like you either. It's simple. But anyway, back on to the wide world of fishing. I don't know much happening in the Peace River. Some catfish up there. Some
catfish. Some gar.
Gar.
A lot of armored
catfish. Croaker. Atlantic croaker mom and dad caught up really? At Sansucci. It was really, really weird, yeah.
Well, I mean, this time of year, I guess it's not too surprising, but still odd.
Yeah, some mangrove snapper, no real redfish, you know, even the snook. I think snook are all moving down. Got some amazing reports from the east side for as far as snook goes. But, you know, so there's really not much to say about the Peace River except beautiful boat ride.
Gorgeous. That's way underappreciated, I think, for most of the locals.
Yeah, but I'm just going to say, great boat riding, not much for fishing. I-75, now we get down to there, we had a guy come in and who was just, we didn't have any regular blue crabs, so we wanted tarpon crabs, and he took his brother-in-law out. I talked about this with Kale yesterday. Wanted his brother-in-law, whichever it was, to catch the fish of his lifetime. And he got 50-pound black drum, you know, the biggest fish he ever caught.
Nice.
And so, I mean, he spent a lot of money on crabs, but mission accomplished.
Exactly.
You know, he was...
That's the price of a memory of a lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, they'll talk about that till they're 80 years old.
Yeah.
So I felt bad because we didn't have any just normal blue crabs, which are about a buck cheaper, but... some real nice black drum population up by 75. What's going on at 41?
41 has been a little varied. There's a lot of, during the daytime, mind you, there's some Spanish mackerel, a few small sharks, oddball short cobia, a lot of whiting, been a few silver trout and some speckled trout there. And then at nighttime or early mornings, basically when it's still dark, there's been quite a few tarpon there, a lot of snook, a few black drum. There's even been an oddball redfish here and there. You know, whether you're on Lashley or fishing some of the little shorelines right along the immediate vicinity of the bridge. It seems like as you work your way around Bayshore too, you're seeing a few more tarpon, a few more incidental sharks, a few cobia. Quite a few whiting there being caught in the early morning. But it's not gangbusters. You know, it's been, that tide has been pushing bait in and out a little bit, so a lot of those fish have been kind of following the tide up to the bridge and then turn around and boogieing right back out.
Yeah.
Kind of hasn't really stabilized a lot. There's been some thread fins and some glass minnows moving around out there. But all along Bayshore heading over towards the Port Charlotte canals, there's been tarpon pretty steady throughout the daytime.
It's amazing.
Not rolling everywhere or anything, but you could anchor up and feasibly jump three or four tarpon in an outing, which is what most guys will do that are running all over creation chasing fish.
Mm-hmm. And so, to me, that used to be, you know, the area along from the 41 bridge up around through to Grassy Point used to be a very staple for fishing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the charter boat captains, there's docks over there with big holes. There's the mouths of the canals and all the different things that really hold a lot of fish.
Right.
And nowadays, everybody's so interested in going somewhere to go fishing, they don't actually just go out and fish.
Right.
And I've had many, many successful trips working at shoreline along there, and it does take, like, going to Bull Bay and Turtle Bay for the first time. I just did a Turtle Bay page. I've been putting it off, and I promised a guy yesterday I would do a Turtle Bay page, and it actually turned out pretty good. It took me about, I bet I put 4 or 5 hours into doing that page, but it's a lot of circles and arrows and pictures on the back of each, you know, one to be used as evidence against you, but it just, you know, it came out pretty good. But
you have to show it to me when we're all done.
Yeah, it's if you go to fishingfranks.com on the maps of where to go fishing, I did it. You know, it's under listening to Turtle Bay, or on the complete page, it's under shallow water fishing. It turned out pretty good. I actually had to go back in time because I use a lot of Google Maps and stuff like that.
Right.
And I found another site, and I don't remember what it was, with maps on it that actually had the same dating process, but they were different than the Google pictures because these were from the EPA pictures.
Gotcha.
And as I went back in time, I was able to pick out better pictures that showed more of the sandbars, the deeper waters, and it took hours. But I found some really cool pictures from Turtle Bay. One of the things that always stopped me was the Google ones. they just they suck. They were horrible pictures because Homeland Security will not allow them to show anything on coastal waters in clear pictures.
Which is dumb.
Yeah, I mean, gee, a terrorist can't buy a chart and a GPS.
Right.
It's impossible. They have to use Google to figure out how they're going to get into the coastal waterways, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you're listening in D.C. I know you guys in Tallahassee listening, and how you doing up there in Tallahassee. But if you're in D.C., I don't think you're smart enough to turn on the computer and look. Maybe ask your secretary to tune us in for you.
Ask your 4-year-old.
Freaking idiots. All right. Anyway,
told you weren't done yet.
No, I'm not going to be done for a long time. I actually have to move my studios, my radio studios, to a new secret secure location because there could be nicotine involved. I feel like I'm in Colorado where I've got to hide my cigarette.
Right.
You know, you got to pretend you're smoking a joint. Or you, so you don't get in trouble.
Yeah.
You gotta roll your own cigarettes in Colorado, otherwise, you know, you can go to jail. God, I love the way things work out. Anyway, but over there, Olaf Bay Shore, some really cool fishing spots. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's actually really simple to do, and now you're going to put up a lot of catfish and other species, is to, where you see Bay Shore Pier, the two of them, I would go about halfway between the two of them, get out in about 5 to 6 feet of water, let's say six, and just anchor up with a chum bag.
Yeah.
And that really helps bring the tarp in there because the chum bag is going to bring in the bait, the whiting, the catfish, all of the stuff the tarpon are looking to eat. And even though it may or may not attract the tarpon, it will bring in the tarpon's food, which is primary to bring in tarpon.
Absolutely.
So anyway, that's I had to do all that to get to anchor up there with a chum bag to help the tarpon fishing.
Wow.
God. Why am I even? You know, why do you guys listen? I'm like whacked here or something.
Yeah.
I got hit in the head with a stupid stick here. All right.
No, so, it was a boom.
Yeah, it was the boom mic smacked me right in the forehead. Thunk. Thunk. All right. I just keep hitting myself in the head until the microphone knocks me back into sensibility. As we go up, right around Port Charlotte Beach, across from there in the little bay, there's been a few redfish up in there. Not a lot. But yeah. Coming up from Port Charlotte Beach over to Hog Island, if you're looking for trout...
Wait a minute, we got backpedal for a second.
All right, where are we at? I was making coffee, because, you know... Good. Yeah, I went over and made coffee while you were doing that.
No, that's all good. Edgewater Lake.
Edgewater Lake.
Grassy Point, Spring Lake have a lot of tarpon in them right now.
Edgewater Lake, Spring Lake.
They,
you forgot they Grassy Point. No, you said Grassy Point.
Yeah, you skipped over it, but I got it.
You got it, okay. Glad one of us was on board here.
There's been a lot of assorted size tarpon in there from little, literally 10-pounders up to 100-pounders in the last few days.
Oh, I used to make so much money doing that.
I mean, those little guys are in there pretty consistently, but now there's some bigger ones in there to make it worthwhile going in there and checking out. And with this oddball wind and weather and over the next couple days, it'd be some protected area to check out.
While all the captains were huddling up because of the wind and stuff, I would be over there with customers jumping tarpon and having a ball.
Absolutely.
I still remember I would go into some of the canals because I was one of the first ones to, you know, really target in on those canal tarpon species, and there'd be guys in there trying to do it, and my boat would pull up and people come out their lawn chairs to sit and watch fish go in the air. It was a lot of fun. And,
absolutely.
It's an amazing thing back there with two types of rods. One, I use my trout fishing tackle because using very small baits, very small lures, and jumping those, you know, anywhere from 2 to 3 foot, 4 foot tarpon. And then we would take out the bigger rods to try and land some of those bigger ones.
Right.
But, oh, what a ball.
And if you're a fly fisherman, too, it's ideal to go back in there.
Yeah, the trick to it is if you want to catch those tarpon, it's going to cost you $2.
Yeah.
$2.
$2.
$2 is what it costs if you're a fly fisherman to go in and catch those tarpon. Take your leader and your fly rod, your regular tippet that you like, because you don't need a lot of strength, but cut it off cut the last 2 feet off and put some 20 to 25 pound test fluorocarbon on that last 2 feet, and then buy the little teasers we sell. They're $1.99 for two, and you'll catch your tarpon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can sit in the basement going, I can tie the perfect fly. I want to tie the perfect fly. I'm going to make this all perfect. Or you can spend $2 and go catch a fish.
Right, exactly.
It's just, you know, I don't know how many fly fishermen last year came in and said, I heard you can tell me how to catch tarpon. I bet you I had 30, 40 people last season that got their first tarpon from, you know, just basically
a teaser.
Yeah, a teaser or a quarter ounce rattle trap. Yeah. Teasers and quarter ounce rattle traps. That was tough. Okay, yeah. So now you don't have to really do anything. You buy a quarter ounce rattle trap or a little teaser off a banana jig, crazy jig, pompano jig.
Yep.
There's your fish.
That's all it is.
I wish it was harder, guys.
Well, you got to tie a specific weird knot and
cast
with your left hand and stand on one foot, but it works.
Yeah, roll your left eye forward, your right eye sideways, and stand on one foot. Spin around in circles three times saying, tarpon, tarpon, tarpon.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, on the other hand, it does sound simple, but it took me literally, I think, 2 years to figure it out, or 3 years.
Right.
I mean, I did spend months and months and days figuring out how to do all this stuff. So
absolutely.
Even though it's unbelievably simple, it was the act of, okay, this doesn't work. Now, is this going to work? And, that, you know, the experimentation time, there was a huge amount of effort went into it. At the end, it was just too basically simple, but, you know.
It's usually how it works.
Yeah, you got to start with 27 complicated things before you get to the simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, we got tarpon back there in those canals.
Yep.
That's
about all I've been hearing about. That's kind of everything else has been me, wishy-washy, some jacks, some mangrove snapper, oddball snook. Most of the snook are starting to move out of there pretty good. There's been an oddball shark up in there, too, but it's very, very random. But the tarpon are the main thing that the guys are really, really seeing a lot of.
All right. Now, I'm going to explain to you the secrets to catching trout right now. And you're going to need a live shrimp, a popping cork. You might want to put an eighth ounce Rockport Rattler underneath it, pink, chartreuse, white, doesn't really matter. And get the eighth ounce or 16th ounce Rockport Rattler, popping cork, and put a live shrimp on the hook. But it's not so much what you're throwing as knowing where to go throw it. When you go from Port Charlotte Beach, Alligator Bay, over close towards Hog Island, now you're going to go and you're going to see white sandy beaches up against the shore, which are beautiful to look at but impossible to use because there's only 10 inches of water and muck right in front of them. You're going to come out with your boat and be in about 6 feet of water, and then you're going to idle towards shore, and then all of a sudden it's going to come up and you're going to be on the flat. You're going to be in 3 feet of water. Come back until you get that drop off ledge, and right along that drop off is, yeah, it's raining. Yes.
It's pretty good.
So I can hear the rain coming down. Oh, no, don't let the rain come down.
Plants are going.
I've had so much rain out the house, we're not dry at all. Oh, I mean, no, I got to mow the lawn again.
I'm a dust bowl at my house.
Yeah. Well, I live on the other side of 75, yeah. So I live in a different hemisphere.
Yeah.
Anyway, those fish are right along that drop-off. And it's that simple to find, guys. But you do need a depth finder. You're not going to be able to do it visually because the water's a little dark. It's a little murky right in through there. But shrimp and a popping cork. It's not a white bait issue up there. It is a shrimp and popping cork issue. And for some reason, all these fish on the upper end of the harbor are more keyed to the shrimp yet. I think because we haven't had the white bait populations up here, or the temperature, or Poseidon is fighting with Neptune or something. I have no idea why, but it is a shrimp and popping cork issue there. But they're nice trout. Very few shorts. Few shorts. Most of them are slot size, and you're allowed four per day, 15 to 20 inches. One can be beyond the 20.
One of those four.
One of the four. So you will have a hard time filling your slot because you find too many fish over 20 inches, and you're only allowed to keep one of those per person. So you've got that 15 to 20 inch slot, and you're allowed one fish over 20. So you will have a hard time filling your slot because you're going to catch most of them over 20 inches. So the good news is you will be catching fish in that 20 to 28 inch range, but the bad news is you're only going to be able to keep one of those. But hopefully you'll find some 19s and 18s in there. But most of them are 20 inches plus.
Well, and the other cool thing about those fish that I love is that they've been up in that upper end of the harbor for so long, even with the lack of rain, the tannins have absorbed into their skin. So they're just so golden in color, and their mouth is that screaming, screaming orange.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they almost remind me of like a brown trout.
Yeah, they look a lot like a German brown at this point.
They're just so, the colors are so enhanced. It's awesome. I mean, they look like a totally different kind. I mean, yeah, to me, it's
it doesn't look like a spotted sea trout at all. They're literally more like a freshwater German brown, except for that weird funky face and a German brown, and they taste way better.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not a big trout person, I really, if I was going to do Brooks, Cutthroat, Rainbow, or German, I would probably end up with the Cutthroat for as far as the flavor of meat on those, but
Cutthroat or a brook?
Yeah, the brook trout's pretty good. The cutthroats aren't bad. Yeah, I would have to go with brook first.
I like those.
Yeah, that would be my favorite. Yeah, what was I thinking?
I think you just reversed it because you were going towards the brook trout when you went your train of thought there.
My train of thought had a wreck. You know, I'm sorry. IRS is auditing me. They tell me I can't smoke in my store. I'm tired. I'm just beat up. It's like, don't try to be successful, hire people, and, you know,
right,
work things out, because you will get punished. No good deed goes unpunished. So anyway, but back to that, those trout are along there. Now going up into the cutoff, real scattered and mixed. It was doing real good, really good, and now it's slowed way down. I don't know what's up.
Yeah, I've been hearing weird reports through there. Been a few big snook, a few slot snook, but it's like you go like a span of several days without hearing anything, you know?
Few guys I know that have been in there on spots where I knew there was redfish just have really done nothing.
Right.
And it was pretty much not a guaranteed thing, but I mean, if you knew at all where you were going in the cutoff, you were going to find fish, but not right now. So then coming around out in front on what they're called Frank's Flats out there, not this Frank, the other Frank, cobia.
Yeah.
Really, really nice cobia fishing out there. Now, we have stocked up because this year is the year of the eel. Yeah. We must have a major hatch of eels. People don't realize how many eels are in Charlotte Harbor. I mean, Charlotte Harbor loads up with eels. I mean, you're sitting on one of the piers and you cast out and you get snagged. Give me a break. There isn't a rock out there anywhere to snag it. Oh, you're snagged on a rock. There isn't a rock out there. It's sand and mud. And the only way you're getting snagged is when an eel grabs your bait and he runs down in a hole, wads up in a ball, and you can't pull him out of that.
Ties himself up in a knot.
Yeah, and you just can't pull him out of there, and that's your rock. And that's the most common way people lose tackle down here is eels. And they end up breaking off. But we have so many eels, but eels seem to be what the cobia eel representation lures. Now, we got the hoggy in. We've got the savage, the hoagie, whatever it is. The savage. We've got the Berkeley. We've got the gulp. The Berkeley power bait one I'm going to classify as number one. That one has been the best so far. Now, I think one of the reasons for that is the eye is on the front of the lure. And you can twitch it. With the savage, the problem is the eye is back on the head and it dives more. It wants to go down in the water a little bit as you're retrieving it. It will come along. It's got great action just reeling it, but it's a little too much, weight. You can't keep it in up without keeping it going pretty quick. It's so heavy. You've got to do it much faster. And with the Berkeley one or the Hoagie, H-O-G, whatever that one is. We've got them in the pre-rig with the double rigs already done. You can get them weighted or unweighted, and we're still waiting on one of the other colors to come in. And then we got the new one. What was that one I just bought? I forget what it was. I know it's over there. But that one is kind of like the Berkeley. Yeah. So, yeah, we've got a couple.
I can't remember what it is.
We really did a big thing on eels because of how many, many eels there are in harbor and how much the Kobe are hitting them. And today's Tuesday, right?
Yes, sir.
The sound you heard in the background was my phone, so we've got to do our frozen order. So we're going to be pretty much calling this part one because that was our frozen bait dealer calling
call
me.
Back.
Yeah, I know. But they're going to be calling back in just a couple minutes. So anyway, we're going to be calling this part one. What's going on in Mac River, El Jameen, and then we'll come back and do the West Wall.
Well, let's segue onto your eels for just a second. Because the other thing that those things are great for is tarpon, and snook will eat them too.
Okay.
You know, so it's not just kind of a one species specific bait. Don't be afraid to experiment with it around the bridges if you're targeting tarpon, or if you're around, say, El Jameen, or even some of those deeper creeks where you're seeing some bigger snook. Pitch it out there because they'll eat it because it represents not just an eel in some aspects. Sometimes
looks it's like a
reaction
fish.
Strike and it's a ladyfish or a needlefish, and all those fish will eat those in a heartbeat.
They'll all eat eels. They'll all eat the fish. This has been the year of the eel. That's the one bait we've had to really, really expand on. And because for several years we couldn't give them away, we've always carried them king mackerel.
What, 15 years ago carried live eels and couldn't give the things away.
And, you know, we've tried experimenting with a lot of different stuff. But right now, if you're going to be successful in cobia, get one of the eels. Preferably one where where you tie it to is right at the nose of the lure of the bait. The hoagie, the other one, or the Berkeley. And keep it on the rod if you're in that area by Hog Island, or even if you're out in the middle of the harbor looking for fish.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to see that fish. You do not have time to tie it on, rig up, and cast to it. It has to be rigged and ready. Take a 7, 7.5, 8 foot rod, something with 30-pound braid or better on it, and have it rigged and ready to go. I would use this 50-pound fluorocarbon leader on it.
Mm-hmm.
And have it sitting in a rod holder.
I'd probably use 60, to be honest with you, just because of the sheer fact if a tarpon wolfs it while you're out there in that open water, even though you see a cobia, a tarpon might beat them to the punch just
right.
In case.
So it's still, you know, have it rigged and ready to go because you are not going to get that 2-3 minutes of time to rig it up. And 2-3 minutes is a long time. Just
30 seconds is a long time.
Yeah, it's got to be rigged, sitting in the rod holder, ready to go. Cast it beyond the fish as far as you can cast it. That's why the longer the rod you have it on, the better it is. If you can cast it 15-20 feet past the fish, and you got to lead it like you would if you were duck hunting or skeet shooting, you know, the target's here, but it's not going to be there when the what you're throwing is gets there. So you've got to go beyond it and ahead of it and then work it in front of the fish. If you throw right on the fish, there's a slight chance he'll slam at it, more likely he'll run from it.
Right.
You either startle him into biting it or startle him into running. Running is the most like fight or flight, you know.
Yeah.
But if you can get past him and work it right up in front of him and get him interested in it, but it's that pausing of the bait as it gets close to that fish that's going to get him interested. If it just swims by, it's just something swimming there. But if it stops, like, uh-oh, I'm afraid of you. You're going to eat me.
Yeah.
Like, exactly.
People don't realize how important pause is on any lure. I mean, it's such a huge, huge movement. And they just don't realize it's way underutilized.
Well, it goes along with the fact if it's just going by, the fish, okay, it's just going by. Maybe you'd be interested. But if it's not afraid of the fish really isn't that interested in it. But
right. It's
like, if it's going along and then just stops, like, oh my god, this thing is going to eat me, and then it gets the fish interested. Well, maybe I should be eating that.
Yeah, I need to eyeball this a little bit heavier.
Yeah, so I need to look at that. Maybe that's something I should be eating there.
Yeah.
And that's what the pause is for. So
absolutely.
And then just work it back in. If he doesn't interest it, throw it again. But keep people from throwing sinkers, even floats, bobbers, in that, you know, they can cast in front and be sitting waiting, but not at the fish.
Right.
That's really critical to it. But understanding how the fish works, reacts, any creature, the more you understand it, the more likely you are to catch it. But cool. We are going to have to go do our frozen order, and we're gonna mark this as part one, and we're going to come back. Fish and Frank in the chair here, Robert in the chair across from me, and we do have to do the frozen order. Everybody's going to be mad at us because we don't have bait. And seeing as how this is a bait shop, bait would be a good thing to have. Yes, the crowd agrees with me on that, and they're saying it's okay for us to take a break. So we're going to call this part one, and we will be back with more radio fishing in just a few minutes.